This programme was produced at and first aired on MPR, Manawatu People's Radio, with support from New Zealand On Air. Ka pai, Irirangi Tumotu, MPR.
Welcome to Manawatu Conversations, recollections of the past and sometimes opinions about the future. Today we have with us
Ivan Allott,
Muriel Allott,
Andrew Stevens,
and I'm Stuart Burks.
Okay, now Ivan, you've been telling us about your time at Woodville School.
Yes, yeah. Now, quite interesting in those days. It was a much bigger school than it is now, I gather. I've got a funny feeling it was over 300 pupils at it at that stage or something, including the secondary department. But it was a big school, big classes. We just seemed to be crammed into the rooms. And thinking about it, possibly the classes were in excess of 30. Looking at photos, one would presume that they were in excess of 30 with one teacher.
Yeah.
In those classes. There were all sorts of things seemed to happen that were interesting. We got marched into school to music. They would play a march and we'd all line up outside and we'd all have to do the proper thing and march in. And if we didn't, the headmaster was watching us. So we had to kind of do it right. There was the other thing was the milk in schools, which came in crates of milk, which I did not like. It just wasn't my cup of tea, the milk.
Were you a milk drinker at home?
No. I've not been a milk drinker, sorry with dairy farmers, but not a milk drinker. But they had that. You always wanted to be a milk monitor, though, because that got you out of class and you could go and wash the bottles kind of thing and put them back in the crate because it all came in glass.
Oh, you washed the bottles?
Oh, yes. You rinse them. I can't say you wash them, can I? Because it was cold water and they were a bit greasy with fat because it was full cream milk.
Was it sour by the time you drank it?
There were some days I always felt it was a bit off if I tried it, but I didn't really try it.
Oh, there was no pressure on you to drink?
No, there wasn't any compulsion on you. Okay. I seem to get out of it.
Now, if you weren't a milk drinker, what would you have drunk normally?
I've drunk water a lot, and I still drink water. It's just one of those things that I prefer. I drink tea. I have coffee occasionally.
Yeah.
As
a child, you wouldn't have drunk. Well, you wouldn't have
coffee.
Had things
there
like Coke and Fanta or soft drinks.
We had tea, no soft drinks.
So, as a child, you drink tea or water, normally.
Cocoa would have been another one.
Cocoa without milk.
I had milk and cocoa.
Okay, yeah.
No, I wasn't entirely. And I had milk on porridge.
Yeah.
Because I was a porridge eater. I love my porridge. Mm-hmm. Still do. But it was just the school milk. I think it was the fact that in the summer it sat outside and by the time it got to morning, we had it in the middle of the morning, I think, at morning break. And it wasn't very nice.
Nice and creamy.
Yuck. That was the bit I didn't. but you like being the monitor because that meant you got outside and out of class and rinsed the bottles and put them back in the crate. I suppose it was the fact that some kids only drank half a bottle and that kind of thing and put them back. Maybe I was one of those, I don't know. Put them back in the crate so they had to be emptied out before they went back to the milk factory. I think they came from Dannyvirk, the milk.
So did you enjoy the study at school?
I liked school from the point of view of schoolwork, I'd quite enjoyed schoolwork,
Any favourite subjects?
I don't know. I kind of liked everything, really. The only thing I never seemed to be able to write was essays. That was the bane of my life. I don't know why, but didn't seem to be able to write essays.
Yeah.
Well, I never got good marks for them. So, yeah. So I presume I couldn't really do them. And I'm still loath to write essays even today.
Yeah. So was it mainly the sort of basic 3 hours reading, writing and arithmetic?
Yeah. Of course, we did... one of the things that's been going through my mind is this whole mess thing, which seems to be a problem at the moment. And I've had a great deal of sympathy for school teachers in the sense of trying to teach pounds, shillings and pence. You know, looking back.
Yeah, the old style.
What a system. Yeah. And you know, when you thought of teaching kids multiplication with money and having pounds, shillings and pence, it was not...
Yeah, it gets more complicated.
Quite difficult.
Mm. So, were you drilled in the times tables?
Oh, yes, We learnt the times table. I could possibly... Yeah. I've never tried it. I noticed in the paper today somebody saying that they were 70-something or other and could still remember them.
Yeah.
I reckon I possibly could too, and you possibly can too, can't you?
Yeah.
Could do your times table up still.
Yeah.
With a few splutters, maybe.
It's something they don't do in the same way.
No,
these days.
I can remember at one stage I think it was in about Form 1, Form or Standard 5, Standard 6. Again, we lived in a complicated era where. Sometimes you were a form and sometimes you were a standard, it seemed. I'm still confused in my mind. I'm even more confused when my grandchildren have talked about the classes they're in. Yeah, I have no idea.
Grades.
Whatever they were in. You kind of get to the point of saying what. But I remember being the headmaster for some reason. He didn't normally teach. Was to teaching us how to write properly.
Yes.
You know, I can quite definitely remember that. And I see this man in the paper this morning with the text talking about the same thing, you know. Yeah. Teaching us how to write properly.
Yeah. Well, it's an interesting change now. In the university, they've got 3-hour exams. And for us, the idea of holding a pen and writing for 3 hours would be quite normal, but for younger people, they spend all the time on the phones and computers, so it's actually quite a strain and to make it legible in that
way. The interesting thing about that system would suit me quite well, seeing I can't write essays. You know, and you sort of say, well, I could have done quite well maybe in that system.
Well, if it had multiple choice and things, they still write essays, but it's more typing them rather than writing.
We used to go every year they'd have a school picnic, and they had a school bus because the children south of Woodville in Ngāpārua had a bus to get to school. And that bus was an old grey bus, I presume. That's most probably where it came from. I have no idea, but it was run by one of the local garages, and we'd all go into that, and they would just we'd go out to the Manawatū Gorge balance there at the bridge to the domain, and that's where the picnic was. And the bus would go backwards and forwards, ferrying children kind of thing until everybody got there, and... then late in the afternoon I'd do the same thing back again. We used to, and out there you'd have races and all sorts of things like that, and one of the things was to go and have a look at the big totara tree. There's a I don't know where you've been to in there
down the balance end of the gorge
on the gorge track. There's a big totara tree. It's still there. Well, it was the last time I went there. It was still there. And we always had to go into the bush, you know, up the bush tracks kind of thing. I don't think too many kids got lost, but a few most probably got lost from time to time, didn't they? But you couldn't swim in the river, it was too dangerous.
Really?
We didn't do any swimming out there that I can remember. They did put in a paddling pool type thing at balance, but at one stage. Yeah, so that was there, and then at high school, I can remember being in the science lab they had, which was in the old building that's there, and sitting down the back, and we were watching a film, and we were sitting on the benches at the back, watching a film which was up on the front of the, and an earthquake hit. And I can remember quite clearly in my mind watching the benches, because they ran up and down the room, watching the bench actually do a snake. Very clearly in my it must have been quite a shake. And I've never been able to date it. Although I suppose I could possibly approximately by my, what my age must have been at that stage. I must have been 14 or something like that, I think, when that earthquake hit. Yeah.
So early 1950s. Yeah.
Yeah, must have been. Yeah. Something like that. So.
So did the school have a swimming pool then?
No, we used to have to go down to the town pool for swimming.
So Woodville had a...
Yeah, it's still there.
Was Woodville quite big then? Has it shrunk since then, or has it grown?
No, I think it's basically stayed very much the same. It most probably now might be growing bigger than it was. It's never been 1300 sort of what has been in my mind, but what it is exactly now, I don't know. But now, of course, I suppose they're expecting it to grow with the road, you see.
Yeah, well, I suppose it got sort of stuck with the closure of the Gorge Road.
Had one or two interesting things in the Gorge. We were coming to school to Palmerston. This was when I came to Palmerston North. We used to go by car every day.
You were still living in Woodville and driving into...
Yeah, this was just one year, the first year that I came over in the fifth form. And we met a Newman's bus. It was a truck, a big truck on a corner at this end of the gorge. And it was before they sort of widened the corners, and it was very, very difficult getting around those corners. This truck took up more of its road than ought to have, and we hit the fence in this Austin 7, which was not a very big car, bounced off the fence, fortunately, because it was a long way down. And then later on, when we had the Austin 10 one morning, we...
So this was the family car, you mean?
No, this is the person I used to go to school with. He was quite well known. He became quite well known later on. I wasn't driving.
You and your friend, or your friend drove?
Yeah, and there were three of us. Another boy came over too. Okay. There were three of us used to come in that car originally. Two of us went to Boys High and one went to Queen Elizabeth. Well, that was actually the Technical College, I think, at that stage. It was the other boy that had the car. That's the only reason, because we never, as a family, never had a car.
So how did you get about?
Walked.
Yeah.
If we came to Palmerston North, we had this wonderful railway service and bus service. Every bus came through Woodville from Dannevirke and Piatur and Marston. Napier, and then the trains... the rail cars, realise with the rail cars, they started in Woodville. Every rail car started in Woodville, came to Palmerston, went back to Woodville and down the Wairarapa. All the ones on the Wairarapa line. And when they came back at night, or when they came back from Wellington, they came to Woodville, through to Palmerston North and back to Woodville. So they had this wonderful service.
And they were in the middle of town in Palmerston North, so you could just...
Yeah, that's right. Yes, they were right. They were right in the middle. So even the days when I needed to come because the car had broken down, and there were a few days when the car broke down, I would catch a rail car or a bus over to school and arrive late.
At the Woodville end of the gorge, I think there was a locomotive that went over the edge?
Yeah, I remember that. Went out to see that. Yes, it went over the edge. that was the big flood of 52, was it 52 or something? One hit a slip, I think, didn't it? Just on the...
That's right,
Not far from the bridge, at the other end of the gorge. It wasn't far along there towards Deapte.
They had a few problems trying to lift it up out of there they as did. Well. They were a little bit scared that perhaps the crane might go down there as well.
Yep. And the cranes wouldn't have been as good as they are now. But I can remember going and seeing the, you know, the engine above the water kind of thing. You know, two of the, they died in the driver and the fireman.
Mm.
Mm. No, I can remember that. And that was another thing. I remember the there was that flood. I remember being in town by sitting on top of Ormond Street by the, it was a grocer's shop in those days. It's not now. I don't know what it is. It might be a dairy. Sitting there, there was always a seat there. The old men used to sit on, but I was sitting on it that day. And the rain came down. I don't think I've ever seen rain like it since. It just came down in bucket loads, and then there was this mighty flood, which was one that's on the gauge down.
Okay. Now that's in, because we hear a lot these days about climate change, but did you see extreme, you talk about one example, were there many extreme weather events?
Oh, that was pretty extreme. I think there were two fronts came together at one stage, and I think pretty well the source of it was over I don't know, somewhere near Woodville or you know, between Woodville and Dunnyvale, because somewhere like that, because it certainly hit the headwaters of the Manawatu. But I can remember quite, and I wasn't all that old in those days, I don't think either. Must have been 52, somewhere around there. So that was an exciting thing to do.
Okay, now in your childhood then, what sort of entertainment was there?
Not a lot. You made it yourself. The kids of the neighbourhood, you'd get together kind of thing. This is another no-no now, most probably. There was up the... Woodville had its own sale yards, like many towns had sale yards. And at the bottom of that was I suppose you'd call it a creek. It wasn't much of a creek, but it was a creek. And we'd go up, we'd often be up there prodding the banks to see if we could disturb an eel or something, or find out what was in it. But it was at the bottom of the sale yard, so one presumed it couldn't have been terribly healthy, possibly.
The sale yards were for what? They were for sheep?
I presume they must have been like a local thing whereby, although the carrier I talked about earlier, they would sell sheep there, and I can remember once going up Hall Block, taking, I think we took the sheep from the sale yards up to the top of the hill at Hall Block. So it must have been kind of a local thing where some farmers got rid of stock and others bought them kind of thing. It couldn't have been that big.
Because Fielding was the big one, wasn't it?
Yeah, but then if you wanted to transport animals at that stage, you had to put them on the rail, didn't you? Because trucks weren't allowed to go. Trucks could only go how many miles? 20, 30 miles? No truck was allowed to carry anything for more than 30 miles.
Okay, so you'd see a lot of trains with stock on?
Oh, yes, the trains would actually... the trains at that stage, you would have to take your goods to the train, put them on the nearest train. If you were moving house, for instance, from Taumarunui to Auckland or something like that, if you put that, you'd have to take your goods to the station, put them on the train. And then they would take them to Auckland. You'd have to arrange another carrier in Auckland to pick them up and deliver them. You couldn't get a truck to take them all the way through. Yeah. They weren't allowed to. That was
Do you have an opinion on that? Because now they talk about we've not used rail enough and there's all sorts of...
I presume it put a few goods sheds out of and people out of employment, and ultimately I think it made it better for the fact that there may have been a little less pinching going on, because there was a fair bit of stuff got damaged and a fair bit of stuff disappeared, I think, from time.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
In some places.
Yeah, because rail was a big employer, wasn't it?
Yeah. And I have an incident and where I know that certainly happened.
We hear now about, yes, if things were going by rail, there wouldn't be all the heavy traffic on the roads and so on, but there is this other side
I had a story from somebody that worked on the railway about dropping things so that it became a damaged parcel. Just how prevalent that was, I don't quite know, but that was later on.
So you sort of made your own entertainment, but
you did really. A lot of ours possibly featured really what the Salvation Army and Sunday school events and things like that. Scouts.
Yeah.
My sisters went to Girls Brigade. We made a lot of things, had to do things for ourselves a lot, because there were no toys. Toys weren't around. Lucky you could find toys even in the shop in those days, because they, after the war particularly, just weren't there. And so if you had to improvise. Yeah. And
so was there a lot of poverty? I suppose you wouldn't notice it as poverty if
we were brought up in a family. My mother was widowed when I was nine.
Yeah.
And life was pretty difficult from that moment. Fortunately, we had the house, although discovered when she died that it was still living on a mortgage. We didn't realise that. I didn't realise that. But the mortgage was the first thing that got paid when the estate was wound up, and I had no idea. Basically, I don't know whether much had been paid off that.
Yeah,
life was actually quite difficult. And certainly once
again. So you were in a more difficult position than most of your friends, families?
That's something I can't tell you.
Yeah.
I don't think anybody was terribly well off in those days, but certainly life was a struggle as far as our family were concerned, because my mother was on a widow's benefit.
Yeah.
She did get that, and one would be grateful for that. But that wasn't terribly generous.
Yeah.
She was unable to go to work part-time or anything like that, because the amount she could earn was not worth the trouble, although she did have a machine from a clothing factory in town and did piecework, what they call piecework.
Paid by a number of units.
Yeah, she would do buckles and, put the bits on the buckles and things like that. And she'd do, and it was an industrial machine she had, but she would do the bits, those kind of little bits that went on trousers and things like that, and she could only earn a certain amount, and then she couldn't earn any more. She did get the family benefit, which was about 2 and 6 a week. I'm trying to think, it wasn't great. Yeah, so we, as I said earlier, I had one pair of shoes, good, bad, all.
Yeah.
And they were worn out by the time I was finished with them.
That's unusual, because often for growing kids you just grow out of them all day.
I repaired my own shoes when I was, I possibly wouldn't have been more than 13. Actually repaired, put new soles on.
Yeah, I was going to say, in those days you'd resole shoes. Now they're made so once the soles are gone, you can't.
I'd have done that a number of times.
Yeah.
Gone to the shop, bought the leather, a piece of leather, and sold my own shoes. I don't know what they looked like. Now, in retrospect, they must have been awful.
Well, I mean, they also, you could get in England at least, sort of, was it rubber or something that you can glue onto
that's
the
That's right, you
the
could, yeah. Yeah. But I never did that, but I certainly on a number of occasions, actually, and you tacked them on.
Yeah.
You couldn't, you know, there's no, you couldn't sew them on or anything like that. So I repaired my own shoes and by tacking them on. Fortunately, we had a last and things to at home to.
Yeah, the was it the three, four different shoe shape things sticking
heel and toe plate.
That's right.
Heel and toe plates on.
Yeah, yeah.
To try and stop some of the wear.
Yeah.
This is part two of three. Listen next week for part three.
Thank you for listening to Manawatu Conversations. This and other recent programs can also be found on the Manawatu People's Radio website, and a range of programs is also available on the Manawatu Heritage website of the Palmerston North City Archive. The address for that is manawatuheritage.pncc.govt.nz.
Support this show and others like it by giving a donation. For more information, go to www.mpr.nz/donate.